This is God's Covenant Church, the Church of God established in Jesus' name, thanking God for another Sabbath day in the School of Wisdom. The scripture says, "Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." And we are not offended in God's word, because the word of God is his law, is judgment. And I'm so glad to know that his word is his law. I was taught this a long time ago under the leadership of our great pastor, Philip Brown. And we're continuing on in the word of God. And at this time, I present unto you our pastor that's teaching us more about God, our pastor, Perry Boyd.
Thank you, Elder Phillips, to our elders, evangelists, missionary, deacons, all the saints, all that hear my voice, we do greet you. In the name of Jesus, another Sabbath day, glad to be with you. We do keep God's commandments. That means we keep God's word, and God's word is law. I know so many say the law has been done away with. That has not been done away with. God came to fulfill the ceremonial laws, law of sacrifice. He fulfilled that. So we don't offer up bullocks and heifers anymore. He's that lamb. We are keeping the law of God, his divine word. Because of God's anointing that's going on, we're continuing steadfast in the prophets and the apostles' doctrine. We have a soul that just came in. She came from Maryland. She was born and raised here in the church, but now she has a mind to live for God. Her name is Paris. She's now a sister in the Lord, and she does have a testimony.
Thank God for being here on the Sabbath day. Been given the opportunity to live for God, given the choice to live for God. I'm so happy to be here, to be in the School of Wisdom among the living. It's the best choice that I've ever made in my life, and I'm so happy to be here, and I'm grateful to be here and to serve God and keep God's Ten Commandments.
Thank God. Yeah, beautiful. There are ten in his word. They are precepts. And one can testify to those ten is our brother Herman. He's been in the way over 25, 30 years plus.
Yes, Pastor. Thank God.
He has a testimony.
I'm glad to be here today. I am thankful for the mind that God has given me. I'm thankful for my life. Thankful for these 37 years on the journey.
Isn't that beautiful?
I'm especially thankful for a righteous leader, one who teaches that men and women that we can live free and separated from sin as God requires. And it's just a blessing, and I'm so grateful just to be among those that are sanctified, those that are walking free and separated from sin as God requires. And I'm in that number.
Thank God.
I can testify today that there is no sin in my life.
Thank God for our brother Herman. This time, Lord, it's my life.
Thank you.
Thank God. Lord, is our life here at 425 Coney Boulevard. We're grateful for every soul. That's what the scripture says. When a soul comes in, there is rejoicing. We're rejoicing behind our sister Paris. Because of Sister Paris, we got two to be baptized coming up in the new year. Brother Richard and Sister Paris. Isn't that beautiful? We don't know. By the time they get baptized, we're going to do it sometime in the spring. Lord may bring some more souls. But we know these two are going in the water. Thank God for our brother Richard. I remember our elder Batiste came in and our Bishop Barfield was on her way out. But before she left, she said, we're going to put her in the water. And it wasn't too soon because she's yet here today. Thank God for our elder Batiste. Thank God. Deacon Debbie, what's our announcements? Thank God.
You can visit us anytime for our broadcast messages at www.godscovenantchurch.org. Write and mail us at 425 Laconia Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90061. Or call us anytime at area code 323-754-8302. You can email us at info@godscovenantchurch.org. Also, you can subscribe to our podcast at www.godscovenantchurch.org. Now the pastor.
Thank God for you, Deacon. Wonderful. Lord is our life. And our life is everlasting. And it starts now. Now are we in the kingdom. Now. Isn't that beautiful? And our desire is to inherit. That means to continue in the kingdom, which is everlasting life, which is God. Deuteronomy 4 and 6 says, keep therefore and do them. This is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. And I'm saying to our sister Porsche, Sister Paris, I should say. Thank God. Got two P's here. Sister Paris, it's your wisdom. This is your understanding as you put your hands to the plow. Don't look back. You'll grow in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of God. As our elder Philip says, we know more about God today than we did when we put our hands to the plow, when we said, yes, Lord. Everlasting life is what this is all about. St. John 3:16, Deacon Franny, it's about giving our life to God. God so loved the world that he gave his life up for those that would live for him, for mankind, those that would live for him, those that desire God. That's the one he gave the life up for. And if he gave his life up for us, we should give up our life for God, which is everlasting.
Yes.
Everlasting life. 3:16, St. John.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten
Son. So he loved us so much that he gave something. That means he came here just like you and I. And presented and laid down a life.
Yes.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He's talking about flesh. What?
That whosoever believeth in him.
It's about those that believe. It's for mankind, but it's for those that believe in him. What?
Should not perish.
What?
But have everlasting life.
Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But have everlasting life. So this is what it's all about. Everlasting life. Let's go to Matthew's 19 and 16. And this everlasting life starts now. We don't have to wonder about what is everlasting life going to be like. It's telling you in the scripture.
Yes, it is.
And you'll know more about it once you inherit it, but you learn about what everlasting life is. Now, everlasting life is God. Yes. Everlasting life is his word. 19:16, Matthews, what does it say?
And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?
One is asking, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Mm-hmm. God is eternal. Yes. He came and took on flesh and laid down that flesh because he loved us. So what should we do? Lay down our life, the sinful life, to obtain eternal life. And how do we do that? What did he say?
Yes. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good?
What?
There is none good but one.
Now, first of all, there's none good but one. But what?
That is God.
That's God. What?
But if thou wilt enter into life.
Now, if you want to believe in me and inherit eternal life, you're going to enter into it. What to do?
Keep the commandments.
That's why Sister Parrish testified, I'm here to keep God's Ten Commandments. Because yes. That's what eternal life is. Yes. That's what everlasting life is. Mm-hmm. But the people try to say, these preachers, no one to keep those commandments because there's none good. The scripture says none good. No, not one. That's true. Let's write and divide that. Yes. Let's go to Romans 3:10. Now, we know before we've been born again. That's why the scripture says you must be born again. Before we're born again, none good. No, not one. I don't care who you are. When you're born into this life, you're no good until you begin to be with God. And to be with God, you must be one with God. That means you must have one mind to please God. God said, jump over backwards. You with that, have the same mind. I'm going to do that. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
God says, every man get your sword and slay your brother. I'm with that because I'm with God. Isn't that beautiful? Like Abraham's. Offer up your son. He offered him. He was ready to take him out. He was for real. God said, hold you, stay your hand. I know you mean it. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Romans 3:10, what does it say?
As it is written.
Now, this is what's written. What?
There is none righteous. No, not one.
That's what's written. And the scripture is true. We do believe what's written. There's none righteous. No, not one. What?
There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God.
So, with the natural eye, the natural mind that comes into this life, don't understand God and seek after God. It's got to be a mind of God to want to go after God. That natural man doesn't do that. Not one, that's what it says. I believe the scripture. What?
They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable.
What?
There is none that doeth good. No, not one.
So there's not any that do good. It's none. No, not one. Mm-hmm. It didn't say except for Jesus. Except for John.
Right,
Pastor. Except for Jeremiah. It didn't say that. It didn't say except for Enoch. It said not one.
Not one.
Does that mean not one?
Yes, Pastor.
So either the scriptures say that, no, Jesus, John. Well, then the scriptures lie. But now, how can the scripture be alive when the Spirit of God inspired that one to write it? So you need to come to grips and figure out something. It's true. How is that so? If you believe the scripture, you'll get the knowledge. You know what I'm talking about, Sister Paris? Stay with me, sister. All right, keep that smile there. All right. Matthews 19:17. Let's go back there. None good. No, not one. I'm with that. Because before we said yes to God, before we that have been born again, and Sister Paris had been born again, she got a new mind. But now she's got to develop and come forth with the birth.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful? But she got a new mind.
Yes.
And we that have been born again, before we had that mindset, were no good. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
But Matthew's 19:17 said, what does it say?
And he said unto him, why callest thou me good?
What?
There is none good but one.
So he said, ain't none good but one. What?
That is God.
Now, God is the one that's good. Don't call me good. God is good. But what?
Yes, but if thou will enter into life, keep the commandments.
Other words, if you're going to be any good, be one with God, because God is good. That's what people are saying. God is the word. The word is the commandments. But if you're going to enter into being good, enter into being life, obey God. That means you're one with God. There ain't none good but one. That's why even the Lord said, Father, make them one. And the Father cannot make you if you don't obey. But being made is by obeying the word. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes. Beautiful.
St. John 15 and 13. Now, I don't expect too many to be jumping for joy over this. But I do know this one that's striving. She got a smile on her face because she got the mind. Isn't that beautiful? You got the mind. You understand what God is saying when you have a mind to obey God. Why would God not open up your understanding if you have no mind? If you got a mind, God will open up your understanding and say, you know, I see what you're saying. Now, Sister Paris is good because she's one with God. Now are ye the sons of God. Now, it don't appear what you're going to be. Say, well, what you mean? She's going to be a pastor? No. It means she's going to be holier. Don't appear how holy she's going to be, but we know when we see him, when you see him, you're going to be like him. The more holiness you see, you can't see holy unless you are holy. Isn't that beautiful? How plain is that? 15 and 13, what does it say?
Greater love hath no man than this.
What?
That a man laid down his life for his friends.
So the Lord gave up his life because those that love him are friends of his. And if we love God, you can't get a greater love than that to lay down their whole life for God. Yes. Greater love hath
no man.
What?
Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
That a man lay down his life for his friends. What?
Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you.
Isn't that beautiful?
Beautiful.
Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you.
Yes.
And we know God gave 10 commandments.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Yes. Beautiful.
And those 10 commandments, when you keep them, is love. What does it say?
Yes. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Read the ninth verse. What does it say? As the Father.
As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love.
So he loved the Father so much that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave up his flesh. As he loved the Father, so have he loved us. He laid down his life. So we should do the same. Read.
Yes. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love.
How plain is that? So now they didn't took her up under that cult too. Now she's keeping the commandments. That's what the Lord said. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. So Sister Paris is abiding in the love of God now. Isn't that beautiful? What?
Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his
Now, who said, well, the Lord is in a cult? He's keeping them commandments. They done away with it. He kept them.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Read.
These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you.
What?
And that all your joy might be full.
They don't say all your joy, and that your joy.
That your joy might be full.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
She got the joy.
Yes.
And we're striving, and the word is going to come forth to make sure your joy remains. Isn't that beautiful? Romans 6 and 6, let's go there. This is about having everlasting life. In order to have everlasting life, you got to lay down a life. In order to have everlasting life, you got to be born again. Isn't that beautiful? How plain is that? Romans 6 and 6, what does it say?
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him.
So wait a minute. I don't know if that old man is going to go on a natural cross. You cannot be crucified with him if his crucifixion was different from how it was supposed to be. You're crucified with him because he crucified the flesh before he went to the cross. We got to do the same thing. We're crucified with him. Our old man is crucified with him, what?
That the body of sin might be destroyed.
Oh, wait a minute. Don't nobody cut off what you hear. He must have destroyed it too. Say, he destroyed that devil when he died on that cross. No, he didn't. That devil was destroyed before he went to the cross. Out of his life. And even though he died on the cross, that devil is still in everybody's life today. If you have been born again, he's still here. You've got to destroy him out of your life. He only destroyed the power of the devil. He never really had it. It's only in one's life. He's only showed you the way. That beautiful? Now, one might say, now you are a lie. He destroyed that devil. Then what's your problem then? If the devil is gone, you ain't got no problem. You ain't got to do anything you want to do. No, devil ain't going to make you do nothing, right? He's yet here. That's why we have to crucify him, the old man. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that what?
That henceforth we should not serve sin.
Now, wait a minute. It's telling you plain that we shouldn't serve sin. But you can't help but sin. Well, what are you talking about? Not serve sin. Do you understand that, Sister Paris? Talk out. I know they can't hear you. Are you smiling? I'm letting the audience know you're smiling. Because you believe what the word is saying. 1 John 3:1. Now, I just told you, say, now they don't make her a sister. She in a cult. Well, let's see what 1 John say. I think John made this one, too. But John made it one because he said, now are you the son of God? In other words, if you want to follow the blueprint, you're a son right now. Right. 3:1 says what?
Behold.
What?
What manner of love?
Now, wait a minute. We're just showing a manner of love. So why are you claiming that girl? She don't know. She hasn't been born again. She needs an experience with God. I'm giving her the experience. Giving her knowledge. That's experience. Isn't that wonderful? She's very much experienced. She know that sin is real. And that if you don't stop it, you ain't saved. 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. What?
That we should be called the sons of God.
She got a mind to live for God. She should be called a son. Mm-hmm. What?
Therefore the world knoweth not
us. Now the world don't know us. So now you know what? Y'all ain't in nothing but a cross because the Lord died on the cross. He did. But if you don't take up the cross he died from first, the Lord's cross, you ain't saved now. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Therefore, the world knoweth us not. What?
Because it knew him
not. It didn't know God, and you don't know God's people today because God's people house God.
Yes.
What?
Yes, Pastor. Beloved, now are we the son of God.
Now is she a son of God. She's a sister now because of the mind she got.
Yes.
Now are we the sons of God. What?
And it doth not yet appear what we shall be.
So it's not talking about what you're going to appear like in glory when you're nothing but spirit. It don't appear that you're going to be holy. Not yet, because you just put your hands in the plow.
Yes.
But yet God is calling you holy.
Yes.
And when you're striving and doing all you know to do, you are holy. Yes. Until God says, now you got to get rid of this. And as you get rid of it, you're sanctifying yourself the more.
Yes.
Read.
But we know that.
We know. We know what?
When he shall appear, we shall be like him.
Now we know when he'll appear, we're going to be like him.
Yes.
What?
For we shall see him as he is.
What?
And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he
now,
is pure.
So if you have a hope, you think, and this is talking about when we leave here. Well, if you want to say that's when it is, you're yet supposed to be purifying yourself. As he is pure, which means he was without sin. So that's our plight, that's our work, to purify ourselves. That means get rid of the gods before us, get rid of graven images and on and on and on, so we can really see him. Hebrews, let's go there first. Hebrews 12:14. Let's see what Paul is saying, and he's witnessing to what John is saying. They were both one. They all had the same mind. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Hebrews 12:14.
Follow peace with all men.
Now, follow peace with all men. And the scripture says, great peace have they that love thy law.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we follow, the peace that the law give us
when
you obey God's law. But what?
And holiness.
And wait a minute. Holiness, it didn't say follow Baptism or Presbyterianism, Catholicism, Muslimism, it didn't say that. Judaism, it's holiness. And so many of these churches call themselves Church of God, holiness, sanctity, all this kind of stuff, and apostolic, who's supposed to be holiness, sons of God, but they don't keep God's commandments, which is God's word. If you don't have God's word, you are about holiness almost, but you're not. It takes the word of God to sanctify. Holiness, what?
Without which
no Now, if
man.
You don't have holiness, if you don't have peace, follow peace and holiness, what?
Without which no man shall see the Lord.
So in order to see God, you have to follow holiness. Sanctifying yourself.
Yes.
1 John 3:3. Let's go back there again. Because
yes.
This is how you begin to sanctify. Mm-hmm. Make yourself holy. You're purified. 3:3, read
yes.
it.
And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as
so
he
So why are you
pure?
Trying to act like you're so pure, Sister Paris? You ain't nothing. You still a sinner. No, you say, thanks be to God, I was a sinner. But I've obeyed that doctrine, have been delivered me. I'm purifying myself as he is pure. What?
Yes. Whosoever commits
now,
sin.
Now we give you the basic prerequisites of how to continually sanctify yourself and get holy. First of all, you got to know this. Whosoever, what?
Committed sin transgresses also the law.
So wait a minute. If the law of God, you're transgressing God's word, if that's done away with, where's the transgression? Whoever sin, you're transgressing God's law, which is his word.
Yes.
For what?
For sin is the transgression of the law.
So if the law is done away with, there is no such thing as transgression anymore. Or no sin. It's yet here.
Yes.
What?
And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins.
So if he was manifesting away our sins, you say he took away our sins. If there's no law, then you can't sin anymore. But what?
And in him is no sin.
Now in him is no sin. What?
Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not.
Now wait a minute. So if you're abiding in him, you're not sinning. But to abiding in him, to abide in him means to obey him.
Yes. Yes.
What?
Whosoever sinneth hath not seen
now,
him.
Now, wait a minute. You're in God. That means you're not sinning anymore. And you're yet saying, no, we're all sinners. But it's telling you, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth, what?
Mm-hmm. Hath not seen him, neither known him.
How plain is that?
Yes.
So that's getting you know, if you're yet sinning, you haven't seen him, neither have you known him. Right. What?
Little children. Let no man deceive
So we're not going to let all these old false and jackleg and unknowledgeable preachers, which is of the devil, deceive us.
All right.
What?
He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous.
What?
He that committeth sin is of the devil.
Now, if you commit sin, it's letting you know you're of the devil. Don't say you're in God. You're of the devil. What?
For the devil sinneth from the beginning.
What?
For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested.
That's why she's up under
God.
The one that God sent.
All right.
Because the purpose is to destroy. What?
Mm-hmm. That he might destroy the works of the devil.
You've got to get the devil's works destroyed out of your life. It's not out of the world. Mm-hmm. We are the world. We're not of it. But it's got to be out of an individual life.
Yes.
What?
Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin.
There it is. Now, when you're born again, when you've been sanctified, when you're holy, you don't commit sin.
All right, Pastor. Sin
is a transgression of God's law. That means you don't have gods before me, and this is the time now. All of these gods are in full array, erected, standing up tall. You got Sandy. All of them. Turkey goblets, gone. Yes, Sandy, who's on next, my boy next?